Good morning. My name is Nancy Grady. I'm a Dame of Malta with the American Association in the New Jersey area. Everyone, welcome to our July Spiritual Outreach Call. We are pleased and grateful to have Father Paul Hartman as our speaker today. He will speak to us on the question of whether patriotism is a virtue. Father Hartman was recently appointed as Associate General Secretary of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, where he serves as administrator of the USCCB's pastoral offices and a member of the executive staff. Father Hartman was serving in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee prior to his appointment. He is a magistral chaplain in the American Association. Father Hartman graduated from Marquette University with a double major in communications and philosophy. He attended St. Francis de Sales Seminary in Milwaukee and was ordained to the priesthood in 1994. He has a licentiate in canon law from the Catholic University of America and has served as judicial vicar for the Metropolitan Tribunal in Milwaukee since 2003, along with assignments as pastor of various parishes and as the president of a Catholic high school. Father Hartman, we welcome you this morning.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you very much for your kind introduction, and welcome to all who are on the line. It is an honor to speak to you this day as I look out my window here in Washington at the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, patroness of our country, our nation, on this topic of is love of one's country a virtue. I would like to use as our prayer, opening and closing prayers, from the Mass setting that was established for Independence Day in the Diocese of the United States. And so let us take a moment and begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father of all nations and ages, we recall the day when our country claimed its place among the family of nations. For what has been achieved, we give you thanks. For the work that still remains, we ask your help. And as you have called us from many peoples to be one nation, grant that, under your providence, our country may share your blessings with all the peoples of the earth. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, ever and ever. Amen. My friends, the topic was interesting to me when they sent out the list to sign up, and I jumped at the opportunity. Is love of one's country a virtue? We have to start off just a momentary reflection on virtue. I think we collapse it in our modern parlance just to mean a good quality, a positive trait. Just something that is, desirable in a person. But in truth, the church uses it, not so much merely as a synonym for goodness and likability, but it reflects something deeper. Just think for a moment when we talk about the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity, or the moral virtues of prudence, justice, temperance, and courage. It always reflects something that flows from within, with an intentionality to have an impact on the things around us. The person who is virtuous, whether directly or indirectly, whether by strong effort or simply by passive presence, has an impact on the world around them, on the people closest to them. And so when we contemplate what our responsibilities are as citizens of a country, and we'll draw from our catechism and from our own founding to understand that, we also draw from the very essence of who we are as people created in the image and likeness of God. If a virtuous person, can impact the world around them positively, it is certainly a virtue to love one's country. Now, that's not meaning we're bringing an end to the call, because we have to understand some of the depth of that and the context of that. Maybe in almost too secular a way, it can be said that it is the duty of citizens, of good citizens, to contribute along with civil authorities, civil structures, mediating institutions, to the good of the society, and to do so in a spirit of what others have said, truth, justice, solidarity, and freedom. And those are just very powerful terms. They are not only, you know, secular terms, they're not only enlightenment terms, they are theological and religious and spiritual. You know, we don't have to go far to in our founding. Thomas Jefferson once wrote, can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are of the gift of God? So, I mean, Thomas Jefferson and a lot of the founding fathers have been criticized for their secular notions, for their theistic maybe inclinations. But Thomas Jefferson said all of this is necessarily based upon the idea that it is a God-given reality. You know, we heed something to God, you know, to our God and to nature's God. Now, our participation, our acts of freedom have a purpose. Religious freedom has a purpose. And it's almost somewhat circular. Some would say that, that freedom requires virtue, virtue requires faith, and faith requires freedom. At least in the very sense of it being lived out. And all we have to do is look at different places in the world where faith can't be lived out, where then virtues falter and fail or are non-existent, and truly then freedom isn't present. So the idea that these are kind of three segments in a circle, or, you know, the overlapping Venn diagram of the Trinity, you know, is just a good fortune, a good coincidence that freedom, virtue, and faith go together so intimately. But we have to encourage every person to live out the goals of their being created in the image and likeness of God, to be a person who not only transforms one's own soul for the goodness, for the greatness of salvation, but to do so with the goodness of our time here on earth being important. Oh, that's not to be saccharine or to be, you know, ignorant of the needs and the challenges of our country. We have plenty of things, on the one hand, to be grateful for and to pursue and to highlight and to lift up. But we also have to admit that there are things that we need to overcome. You know, our prayers in these days for the people of Highland Park, Illinois, our prayers in this country for racial harmony, our prayers this day for a sense of the dignity of life from conception to natural death. We need to continue to work for those and to see that in each of those, it is a powerful opportunity. I mentioned Thomas Jefferson a little earlier. John Adams has another great quote that I found. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to govern any other. So the idea that we need to see ourselves being brought to fruition, at least in this worldly fruition, we need to see ourselves as participating in the uplifting of all people. A rising tide lifts all boats, an uplifting of the poor, an uplifting of the downtrodden, an uplifting of those who are marginalized in so many ways, an uplifting of those who would be rejected. We need to see those as part of our mission as citizens. The Catechism of the Catholic Church actually has a section on the duties of citizens. There's a great passage that it opens this section with a citation of the first letter of St. Peter, it's chapter 2. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. But then just a passage or two later, live as free men, yet without using your freedom as a pretext for evil, but live as servants of God. If we are to be thankful for our freedom, it is because it needs to be a freedom dedicated to our servant leadership, to our servant participation in the common good, in the world that is in such great needs. The Catechism will go on. We're in section, you know, the 2238 and 2239 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It goes on. It's the duty of citizens to contribute, along with civil authorities, to the good of society. You heard me give the profile earlier, truth, justice, solidarity, and freedom. And it goes to very clearly say, love and service of one's country follow from the duty of gratitude and belong to the order of charity. So the idea that we are drawn into this wonderful mission, it's foreshadowed by so much. We've heard scripture, we've heard the catechism, we've heard the founding fathers. Thomas Aquinas talked about how if we live a good life, it's one that's in pursuit of genuine freedom and happiness. Now that genuine is a powerful qualifier. It's a powerful adjective. It's, you know, part of a genius. It's rational. It's reasonable. And what do we talk as Catholics more than probably any other denominational faith? That faith and reason are complementary. Redis et, you know, fides et ratio was one of the great encyclicals of John Paul. The idea of faith and reason together, genuine genius is freedom. Genius is happiness because it follows an order. It follows something that makes sense. It either produces in the cycle of freedom, virtue, and faith, or it just keeps us moving linear, in an almost linear fashion, from what we needed to be 200 and some odd years ago, 246 years ago, to what we need to be in the course of the decades of our lives and in our community, in our cities and towns. It is sad when some of that is lacking, but it is necessary. It is necessary for the person of faith to bring forth, at least as the catechism will say elsewhere, to bring forth at least implicitly, by the vision of a man, of man and destiny, everything that is necessary for a hierarchy of values. A hierarchy of values. It is certainly the case that people, you only need to read the paper, watch a Twitter feed, or watch cable news, and you'll know that some think there's no virtue in patriotism. There's no virtue in loving this country or a particular place. But I would beg to differ. I would beg to differ for two reasons. One, because virtue is the person who wants to profoundly impact. The virtuous person wants to profoundly impact a needy world. That's what we do in our faith. That's what we do in so many ways through our communal, our civic structures. Not necessarily the government at its highest levels, but the local, the people who do acts of charity, the people who do acts of kindness, the people who help, you know, protect others in so many subtle ways, but equally important ways, the way we raise our families. But it's also the case that we do so for a life of faith. A life of faith. We have to remember a couple of things, that our church is neither the government itself, nor are we truly, you know, full citizens. The Catechism uses an interesting line that we are in many ways resident aliens. Resident aliens should strike us at home as we have some of the debates of modern times. This is a temporary place for this. In Philippians it says our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior. And in this place where we're waiting, we can have a citizenship. We can have genuine freedom. We can seek some happiness that is timely, that is incarnate. And in doing so, we are not to be vice-filled or vicious, as it were. We are to be virtuous. We are to be the ones who bring into this world God's grace, God's blessings, and God's hopes. Now, we go back to the original question. As I've already tipped you to the answer, is love of one's country a virtue? Well, if love of one's country means that one's country replaces church or replaces God or replaces even the goodness that we should show others, well, then it's not a virtue. But if love of one's country is what flows from within, trying to impact the world, trying to have outward sign value, like prudence, justice, temperance, and courage, like faith, hope, and charity, like truth, justice, solidarity, and freedom. If it's that, if that's what guides our actions, if that's what guides us when we wave a flag or participate in a picnic, then it is virtuous. So long as we are virtuous people, love of country is a virtue. Let me finish with a prayer. I used the opening prayer from the Mass setting for Independence Day. I'll finish with the closing prayer. And so we pray. Father, who have molded into one our nation, drawn from the peoples of many lands. Grant that as the grains of wheat became one bread, the many grapes one cup of wine, so we may before all others be instruments of your peace. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. God's blessings upon all on this call. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you very much, Father Hartman, for your inspiring and helpful explanation of the concepts and the valuable insights that you have shared. Your contributions to our monthly spiritual outreach calls program are really greatly appreciated. All the best to you on your new assignment, and maybe we will see you in January in Washington, D.C. at our Pilgrimage for Life. Thanks to all who joined the call this morning. The recording of today's call will be posted on the American Association website within the next few days. Our next call is scheduled for Wednesday, August 3rd at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Father Brian King, a chaplain from Southeast Florida, will speak on the significance of the transfiguration of our Lord. Have a blessed day.